Well, the Better Government Association announced today a new CEO, David Greising, will come over from Reuters to helm the government watchdog. Greising will be replacing Andy Shaw, who is stepping down. He led the BGA for the better part of the last decade and ushered in a new era that includes not just monitoring our local lawmakers, but creating more independent investigations and partnering with media for wider exposure. Greising comes from Reuters, but before that, he was a longtime business reporter and columnist at the Chicago Tribune. He also had stops at the Chicago News Cooperative and is a special advisor to the board at the World Business Chicago. I had the chance to work alongside David and Andy for a number of years covering business at WBEC, and it's a pleasure to welcome David Greising to the show. Congratulations on your new perch. It's great, man. Congrats.
Thank you, Justin. Thanks very much.
And now BGA President Emeritus, Andy Shaw. Good to see you, bud.
It's going to be such fun to help David move the BGA toward our centennial anniversary in 2023. You know, this watchdog organization goes back to the Capone era. I had the fortune to revitalize it over the next 9 years, but now it's time for new blood. David's the right person to take us the next 5 years, and I hope to be his partner in figuring out how over the next 5 years we can actually make good government come to Illinois. Because, you know, all the things you talk about on these shows, poetry slams and the bears, all of them important. But, you know, what we do is so basic. We try to protect your tax dollars, which is much more critical than how the Bears do at Soldier Field or how a poetry slam goes. And that's where we have perhaps the biggest crisis in Illinois, the wonkiest and the least sexy.
We'll get to that.
That's what we're really doing, and David will take us to the next level.
The institutional knowledge in this room about how Illinois got to this place and where we're at today is tremendous to think of. You guys are almost news historians and business historians. But David, why do you want this job? Why get out of the rigmarole of covering business and news to take a watchdog job at the BGA?
Well, I was hoping that Andy would finish cleaning up Illinois before he retired. You know, we've been at it almost a century, and I thought the job might be done. But when I saw that it wasn't quite finished, I thought it was time for me to give it a try. I've grown up and lived here almost my whole life. And when you care about Chicago and Illinois as much as most of us who live here do, and you see the dysfunction, and it, having worked for national and global media, realizing like that's not the way it is everywhere. That's the thing. When we grow up and we live here, sometimes we lose that. We don't have that perspective others have when they look at Illinois and see how dysfunctional it is. Mm-hmm. And when you look at a state where, you know, governors are going to jail, where the controller of tiny little Dixon, Illinois, where Ronald Reagan was born, stole $54 million and nobody even noticed, you just realize that there's a huge job to be done here. And when you start seeing that and realizing that as a person who care so much that you could have a chance to really throw everything you have into that, it's a great opportunity.
Well, Andy, you know, I wanted to ask that, you know, I would say the BGA of the past before Andy Shaw would be, a former reporter, a columnist that's going to run the BGA. It's much different than past leaders, but you've changed it in the way that now the BGA has its own independent investigative arm. I mean, there's great pieces that are coming out, that they're partnering with media. So it is kind of a no-brainer to bring someone from the media over to the BGA.
Dave is a perfect addition because he has a background as a journalist. He's worked for a nonprofit. He has business credentials, and he'll be perfect to move us forward. I think it's really critical to point out that we are a full-service watchdog organization. We do five things simultaneously. We investigate, litigate, advocate, educate and communicate all at the same time for one simple reason. We think your tax dollars should be spent honestly, fairly, and efficiently. It's not complicated. You know, every listener here pays taxes to the city, the county, the state, and the federal government. And we have government that's essentially out of control at all levels. Too big, too corrupt, too inefficient,
too political,
too dishonest, and too politically motivated. The leaders in our government sector, for the most part, care about themselves and their friends and their families and their cronies. To them, government is a business when it should be a service on behalf of us, the taxpayers. You know, if you don't like Big Macs, you can go to Wendy's or Burger King. If you don't like Speedway, you can go to another gas station. But if you don't like your local government, you still have to pay your taxes. And so unless you're going to pay attention and vote for good people, you need watchdogs to tell you who is protecting your tax dollars and who isn't.
And I want to get into that.
David will take us to the next generation of doing that the way it should be done.
And I want to get into that because we can have a more philosophical conversation about where we are as a state of Illinois with like I said, the institutional knowledge in this room between the two of you. We can get into it. But as a, I mean, I've known you for a long time, David. I mean, just as someone who has covered the business community, you've covered so many different parts of the city that it's a lot about money. It's a lot about commercial interests. How does that help you to take this job as a watchdog for government?
Well, one of the biggest stories about the sort of waste and fraud that Andy's talking about is following the money. That old chestnut about investigative journalism and follow the money. And I've got decades of experience following the money as regards how companies, run their financial operations, but also having covered a lot of the ins and outs of government spending and waste mm-hmm. as well. When I was at Reuters, we did a significant investigation into kind of the multitude of governmental units in the state of Illinois and the cost of those governmental units.
That's a big thing. That's Andy's a been big talking thing. About for years.
Yeah. Right. And so when you bring kind of some financial background to that kind of reporting, it adds a lot. That's by no means the whole story, because politics, as we've said, politics is part of it. And other aspects come into play. The nice thing about the BGA is we've got people who have real expertise in covering state politics, et cetera. And so my hope is that background that I have in the financial part of it will be additive to what they're already doing.
David Grising is the new CEO at the BGA, the Better Government Association. President Emeritus Andy Shaw is in studio as well, who is taking a new role at the BGA. We'll take a quick break here. We'll continue our conversation at the big table. When we come back, let's talk about taxes and watching over where our tax money is going. David and Andy, my guests at the big table. Stay with us. It's a Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, David Grising, and Andy Shaw in studio. David today named the new CEO of the Better Government Association. He's currently, are you done now? I mean, when do you start? You start March 19?
Yeah, start Monday. I was anxious to get started, so no reason to wait.
There's no time to throw that away party at Reuters.
Well,
huh?
Yeah, but part of it is that you look what this organization is doing, and you look at the timing, and it's like, why would you want to wait? There's so much that needs attention, and it'll be really a fun bit of work to be doing.
We mentioned one of the issues that the BGA has really sunk their teeth into, and that has to do with the number of townships and pieces of government that are in the state of Illinois. We've been talking about this, Andy, for years now, about that is one of the big issues when it comes to why we have so much trouble in the state of Illinois balancing the books. Is that still to be the big issue for what we need to do to become a better state, is limit or consolidate those pieces of government?
You know, it's one of our biggest challenges, but it's also an intractable one. Last year, the state legislature, with pressure from the BG and other groups, passed a landmark piece of legislation which finally enables all 102 counties to start downsizing. Illinois has 7,000 units of government. That is 40% more, or 2,000 more units, than the closest competitors, Texas and California, which are both bigger than Illinois. And those excess units of government eat up tens of millions, if not billions, of tax dollars doing duplicative, replicative, and unnecessary things. The best example is what you mentioned, townships. Mm-hmm. 1,400 of them in Illinois. Vestiges of the horse and buggy era when you needed a branch of government close by. Today, virtually unnecessary because municipalities and counties do everything that the townships used to do, and yet we can't get rid of them. And so tens of millions of township dollars sit in banks because the townships have nothing to do with the money. So they levy taxes, we pay them, and the money sits in banks. And that is indicative of what the problem is. My favorite example is Cook County, which has four separate mosquito abatement districts, each one with its own building, superintendent, trucks, and chemicals, all chasing mosquitoes. Now, if I'm a mosquito, I am proud of all those chasers. If I'm a taxpayer, I am pissed.
Yeah.
You know what? If they consolidated those four districts into the Cook County Department of Health, which could be done in a heartbeat, get rid of the trucks, the chemicals, the buildings, the superintendents, you would save $1 million a year.
Let me ask. I mean, we just came off of a budget fight. It seems like every month there's a budget fight in one of the places of government in the state. But the county government, when they tried to put the soda tax in and then they had to repeal, and then they said we'll come up with new ideas. This seems like the kind of thing that people talk about when they say let's shrink government. This would be a no-brainer instead of laying off people and trying to trying to make up or put taxes on items.
Right, but it's one of those situations where the pain, as significant as it is, as Andy describes it, is not so great that it actually mobilizes people to go and do much about it, other than really interested parties like BJ Investigators. We are mobilized, but it's a matter of mobilizing people in the state. And then against that are institutional interests who have everything at stake in the fight to preserve those jobs. And they're operating in the dark because very few organizations like ours are producing, freedom of information requests to find out exactly how much money is being burned, et cetera. And so it's they're in a perfect situation. They're doing it pretty much under the radar, and it's hard, given all the other problems the state of Illinois has, it's hard to get people with their pitchforks and torches to go and say, let's eliminate the mosquito abatement district.
And think of this, Justin. So the counties now have the power to get rid of excess units of government, but they have to decide which ones to look at. Then they have to have referenda with pros and cons among the voters. What's needed is a real strong leadership structure in every county to basically say, we now have the power, but now we're going to do it. Most county leaders don't want to bother.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work to mobilize people to start the referendum process. Look, this should be decided by local voters. The state shouldn't be deciding what to keep and what to get rid of. And so you need an incredible amount of local leadership. Look, if we had a couple more people in our policy unit, we could deploy them around the state to work with the county officials and actually help them downsize. But without assistance, they have a bill, but no motivation to do this. This is so wonky.
It is. And really, if it's not wonky, then it's the other part of it, too. When you start talking about budgets and you start talking about shrinking government, or you talk about the interests that are involved, the political motivations to keep those things, whether it be a machine that was set up for patronage or possibly helps with, voting on either party. Do you guys find yourself at the BGA almost becoming, as you mentioned, one of the five things was communication, fact checkers? You have to be the ones that say, any politician can say whatever they want at this day and age and use whatever platform they want, whether it be social media or even the news now. And we just kind of buy it. And then there'll be two different parties saying two different things. I mean, does the BGA have to take that role on, that you're fact checkers?
That's a new role of ours, and that's a critical role. We now are we're the exclusive purveyor of PolitiFact fact checks for statements made by elected officials and candidates, and we fact check them, and they're on our website, and we rate them anywhere from true to pants on fire. Because in this era of fake news and dominant advertising where it's mostly fake, somebody's got to be a referee of fact, and there isn't a lot of it. We do as much as we can, but these are perilous times.
But I was going to say even more nuance than that, David. I mean, you're talking about where there's an ad out that was about Madigan wants to raise your taxes by 32%, or he did by 32%. But then when you really look at it, you're talking about, I mean, they're really kind of playing with math. It's 32% on top. It's just getting into this long thing. But you almost, in a way, have to commit resources to not, it's not necessarily fake news, it's slanted news. It's right. this way that they want to spin the story in right. their favor.
Which we are doing. That's exactly what PolitiFact is set up to do, is to devote those resources to doing exactly that, which especially in an election season like this, it's highly important because you have a lot of candidates talking a lot of smack about each other, and you don't know, unless you do that kind of digging, you don't know what's just complete utter nonsense and what actually has some substance to it.
Yeah.
And one of the challenges for the BGA is that we have to decide where's the real value-added work that we do that others either don't have the resources to do, don't have the expertise to do, or for some reason choose not to do. And so that this is something that we do exclusively with PolitiFact. And as an example, the governmental districts thing is something else that we do. Stories like the Joe Barrio story, we've contributed some reporting to, but others here, the Chicago Tribune has done some really great work.
Right.
We've got to just keep looking for those high impact areas, those areas that really cost taxpayers money or that undermine the qualities of good government in this state. And that needs to be where we need to look for opportunities where we can really kind of develop a whole new area of coverage and lead everybody in that kind of work.
Let me do this. We'll take a break so we can get the news tonight. And then we come back. Let's talk about what the challenges are for watchdog groups. Is it resources? Is it fighting government transparency? Because you can make the argument that, I mean, many do. They say because of the technology transparent and the Freedom of Information Act, oh, it's the most transparent time in government history. But but I would think the head shaking in here would tell us otherwise. Andy Shaw and David Greising in studio tonight from the BGA. We're talking about David Greising, who today was announced to be the new CEO of the Better Government Association. We'll take a quick break. We'll get David Jennings' news, and we'll come back, continue the conversation at the big table. Stay with us. Thanks, David. It's a download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio tonight at the big table. David Greising and Andy Shaw. David is the new CEO at the Better Government Association, moving Mr. Shaw to President Emeritus, the Better Government Association. Coming up, as you mentioned, 2023. Unbelievable, 100 years in operation for the Illinois Watchdog Group that really keeps tabs on our tax money and the politicians that are there. And this is the right time to do it. We have, before I want to talk about the challenges that are facing Illinois government and what the BGA really needs to sink their teeth into, one of which is we just saw a nightmare scenario in the last 3 years in the state of Illinois when it came to balanced budgets and fights in Springfield and blowing through deadlines and people not getting paid and bills stacking up and billions of dollars, pensions, everything. I mean, just all like a perfect storm of things coming together. And in doing that, we started to recognize that it seemed that ideology on both parties seemed to be above the idea of what was owed to social service agencies, to providers, to bills, and everything in between. What can the BGA do in situations like that to make sure that that doesn't happen or that that's regulated? I don't know what you can do as a watchdog group, but I mean, is it as alarming to you as it is to me that somehow was okay?
Yeah, let me say what happened and let David say where we're going forward. So we've had 30 years of failed leadership in this state. Political leaders who made deals that helped themselves and their friends and their cronies, taxpayers be damned. And as a result, budgets got out of balance, pension liabilities weren't paid, bills piled up, we had government bloat and growth with no concern, and at the end of the day, the piper eventually called to be paid. And the payment right now in terms of liabilities is way beyond what anybody can fathom. We can't afford this. So governors, legislative leaders, and kind of a tacit public have allowed this to reach a crisis stage. We are arguably the rogue state in America, the most unhealthy economic state, both in terms of our government functionality and our business climate. It's going to take a decade at least to climb back out. And so our challenge during the time I managed the BGA, David's challenge moving forward, is to try to keep pointing out the problems and the potential solutions and hope we can get change. Let me just say one positive thing. Last year, we got 15 bills passed in Springfield that will move the ball forward incrementally. The year before, 22 bills, not just the BGA, but a coalition of good government groups. Incrementally, we will change government. I view the fight for better government like all the great fights in American history, from the fight to get rid of the British, to eliminate slavery and child labor and sweatshops, give women the right to vote, civil rights, gay rights.
You put that in the same case. You put good government in the same category as those fights.
The point being, these are fights that take years, if not decades. And so we're engaged in a long-term battle. And one of David's challenges, in addition to managing all the component parts of a watchdog organization, is to help mobilize citizens. We have 13 million American citizens.
How do you keep citizens engaged? Because we've seen in the state of Illinois, we're in an election cycle, essentially a referendum on the sitting governor, and that's not the issue that people are talking about. We're not talking at all about the fact that we just went through 4 years of hell.
Right. Well, let's keep going with part of what Andy was saying, which is these fundamental rights that we have. And if we look at good government as a fundamental right, there are ways to keep people engaged. And part of what the BGA does is we do training, we do civic engagement training, we do watchdog training where we help people learn how to submit Freedom of Information Act requests so that they can get information about what is happening, you know, in many cases at the local level that the rest of us in the state would not be all that interested in. The BGA has moved in the direction of paying more attention across the state than it historically. Its mission was much more Chicago focused,
and rightfully so in this town. But right.
So there's plenty to keep you busy.
Right.
But part of what we're looking at, and the trend in media toward cooperation among media outlets that used to always view each other as life or death competitors, there is a way that we can pool expertise and resources in order to make breakthroughs on stories that previously were just we couldn't on our own get those stories. And when there is coordination, there's the opportunity to have more impact, to reach more people with your stories, and other things that kind of inure to the benefit of people. And so it's a matter of, we've got a great staff at the BGA. We've got good investigative journalists with certain areas of expertise, teaming up with others with kind of complementary areas of expertise so that we can knock down some of the biggest stories.
And Justin, one of the biggest problems, we have a broken election system. We have an election system rigged to favor and keep incumbents in power. So from closed primaries to when we have our elections to petition challenges to campaign finance to all of the components to redistricting, everything about the election system is designed to eliminate competition and also eliminate voter interest and keep incumbents in power. So one of our biggest challenges is to reform the election system so that it's truly democratic. The current election system is part of a sick democracy. It's not just Chicago or Illinois. The whole country exists from this. Congress is in deadlock. Springfield's in deadlock. Chicago is in a financial mess. A lot of it is a function of the dysfunctional electoral system. And so one piece of that is early voting, online voting, maybe mobile voting, all kinds of things that pick up the machinery. Because at the end of the day, if we can't, you know, we have suburban elections where 10% of the population comes out to vote, 10%. And that's only, and 5% of that is people connected to the elected officials. So in most of our elections, the people who are in power get their friends and family members and cronies out, and they win re-election. We've got to fix the electoral system and then, of course, deal with conflicts of interest, waste, fraud, excess. we've got a lot of work to do. Yeah. It's a broken system top to bottom.
And one of the things that does make Illinois unique is the singular role played by Mike Madigan, who is the second longest serving speaker of any house in the state in the country in the history of the United States. And his fingerprints are all over all kinds of issues. This electoral districts, for example, basically Mike Madigan is the key decision maker in drawing the map. Certainly every pension decision that's been made for the last quarter of a century has Mike Madigan involved in that. And so many
reforming elections,
right,
Mike Madigan's got
teams of journalists have kind of looked at Mike Madigan every which way, Mike Madigan himself. But a bigger question for this state is, like, what is the impact and what is the cost of kind of that one person rule in this state? And that's one of the challenges that we and other organizations in the state have is
That's the way to do it. To be able to, because I've seen this, we've had conversations with Metropolitan Planning Council and other places to talk about the cost of segregation, the cost of racism, the cost of one party rule, the cost of one lawmaker rule.
Right.
I mean, defining or attaching the cost to taxpayers to some of these issues may be the ticket to tell people, oh, man, I didn't know we were spending that much money or that cost that much money to have one person in power for 25 years.
That's so hard because there's no day-to-day impact. You get your property tax bill once a year. You pay your income taxes once a year. You don't understand. The pension liability is something that comes due down the road. The problem with trying to fix government in a place like Illinois is very few of these things hit you in the gut today. And so people don't worry about it. The pop tax was the best example of something that actually makes a difference. Because every time you went into a 7-Eleven or a grocery store, you're paying an enormous amount of money on your soda.
Mm-hmm, you noticed that, right.
That hit everybody hard.
Does the BGA, I'll have to ask you both these questions. Is that good government or bad government to have a soda tax?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm not saying it's perfectly fine to consider the soda tax. It was imposed poorly, it was executed poorly, and it wasn't fair. I talked about this on another radio broadcast. I went into
You were on my another broadcast?
I
went into I went into my CVS the day after the pop tax and I bought my Coke Zero, which is my soft drink. And I saw that there was a 67-cent tax on my 67-ounce 2-liter. And I said to them, wait a minute, this isn't a sugary drink. It turns out that it wasn't a sugar tax. It was all these drinks. But it wasn't some other drinks. So it hit everybody, but it was unfair.
Yeah, it was convoluted.
And it was
right.
Poorly explained. And also, it was explained dishonestly. It was about health.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was really about money.
That's the issue. I mean, when you talk about good government, bad government, there was a part of that soda tax that you say is dishonest. I mean, I'm sure Cook County Board President Tony Preckwin will say it wasn't. That had a different idea. It was helping society.
I think that tainted that tax because it was kind of that tax was the fruit of the poison tree of that lie that here's what it's all about. It's right. A health issue.
It really comes back to the point, though, guys, that nobody trusts politicians. Like, we don't trust. I mean, whether they can get up there and they can say and be the most emotional and reasonable and inspiring, and people are like, I don't trust that politician. They could be boorish and straight to the point and give you the bad medicine, and nobody trusts that politician. How do you get past that?
But you asked about our challenge. Our challenge is to make people understand why this matters. That even though the pension crisis may not affect them today, even though the property tax bill is only once a year, the income tax bill, these problems fester and cost them billions of dollars collectively over time, money they can't spend on other things or leave to their kids and grandkids. And it's extraordinarily challenging to get through the clutter of day-to-day life and make them understand that our fight is for the healthy expenditure of tax dollars long term.
All right, my last question tonight, and we'll wrap up here. Transparency plays a big role because of technology. There's platforms have expanded. We've had so many different ways to interact with government, to find out more about our, I mean, geez, just the property taxes were interesting. You can go online. You can find all these things that weren't there 10 years, 15, 20 years ago, right? Are we a better government because of that? Or do we have a better government, or at least are we in a better position to have a better government because of the world of transparency?
There's a little bit of an information arms race when it comes to that, because while technology delivers to us tools by which we can get new information more quickly than in the past, it gives others who want to hide that information their own assets. For example, a while back, Mayor Emanuel was using his phone for his right. what he called personal communications, and we filed a Freedom of Information Act request and ultimately got disclosure of some of his private emails that were done over his personal phone, because they weren't private. They were actually
right.
city business. But now if Mayor Emanuel chooses not to use his email,
which
and goes
not,
on
right.
to a coded internet-based communication device of some sort, we don't have a way to go get that. So if public officials are so inclined, they can use technology.
Skirt it.
We
yeah.
can use technology. It's a bit of
the most transparent it's ever been, Andy Shaw?
Let me tell you, there's more data dumped on the internet than ever before. Most of it is real basic salaries and contracts. The secret stuff, the deal making, is always kept secret, and that's why we file lawsuit after lawsuit. So let me just say, claims of transparency are BS. Tons of information is out there, but none of that information goes to how decisions are made, who talks to who, how the deals are made. Those are kept secret, and when we try to get that information, they stonewall, we sue them, and these cases drag on for a very long time. Government can stonewall with impunity, because guess who pays the bills when they fight us in court? We do. They fight us with our tax dollars. So claims of transparency are only for huge swaths of information, but not the key stuff about how the deals go down.
And Illinois, despite gains that have been made, thanks in part to work of the BGA in terms of the laws of transparency in the state of Illinois, they're still among the weakest in the country.
No.
And if you wonder if there's some correlation between the sort of waste, fraud, and corruption that we're talking about and the fact that Illinois has weak transparency laws, I think there probably is a correlation.
Well, I look forward to more conversations like this with the new CEO of the Better Government Association, David Grising, and the president emeritus, the former CEO, Andy Shaw. David, congratulations on today's announcement, taking over the BGA. We look forward to you continuing to watch where our tax dollars go.
Thanks, Justin.
And thanks you both for being here. Appreciate it.
BetterGov.org. Check us out.